A reading from the book of Genesis. As dawn was breaking, the angels urged Lot on, saying, "On your way, take with you your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of Sodom." When he hesitated, the men, by the Lord's mercy, seized his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters, and led them to safety outside the city. As soon as they had been brought outside, he was told, "Flee for your life. Don't look back or stop anywhere on the plain. Get off to the hills at once, or you will be swept away." "Oh no, my lord," Lot replied. "You have already thought enough of your servant to do me the great kindness of intervening to save my life. But I cannot flee to the hills to keep disaster from overtaking me, and so I shall die. Look, this town ahead is near enough to escape to. It's only a small place. Let me flee there. It's a small place, is it not? That my life may be saved?" "Well then," he replied, "I will also grant you the favor you now ask. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. Hurry, escape there. I cannot do anything until you arrive there. That is why the town is called Zoar." As the sun was just rising over the earth, as Lot arrived in Zoar, at the same time, the Lord rained down sulfurous fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and the whole plain, together with the inhabitants of the cities and the produce of the soil. But Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence as he looked down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole region of the plain. He saw dense smoke over the land, rising like fumes from a furnace. Thus it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he was mindful of Abraham by sending Lot away from the upheaval by which God overthrew the cities where Lot had been living. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, your mercy is before my eyes.
O Lord, your mercy is before my eyes.
Search me, O Lord, and try me. Test my soul and my heart, for your mercy is before my eyes, and I walk in your truth.
O Lord, your mercy is before my eyes.
Gather not my soul with those of sinners, nor with men of blood my life. On their hands are crimes, and their right hands are full of bribes.
O Lord, your mercy is before my eyes.
But I walk in integrity. Redeem me and have mercy on me. My foot stands on level ground. In the assemblies, I will bless the Lord.
The Lord, your mercy is before my eyes.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
As Jesus got into a boat, the disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, "What sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey?" Verbum Domini. I will be preaching on Junipero Serra, so. Contrary to the current American and many other places prejudice against religious officials meddling in the affairs of the state, the Real Patronato was a system in which matters religious and secular intertwined. And from the early 16th century, the Spanish state had the right of approval for any religious house that was erected in their territories. And one of the reasons is they're paying for it. So they're supporting it, they're paying for the needs of this place. So the Catholic mission system was already well-founded by the time of Junipero Serra, but confident in the ability of the mission system to work, Junipero worked for and facilitated the conversion of the Native Americans. So what might surprise the American reader is that Junipero saw his role not only as an emissary of Jesus Christ in the church, but also as a servant of the Spanish king. So on July 19, 1774, Serra wrote, "Besides the religious service I have given to my college or the Apostolic Institute in the working of these missions, for God in obedience alone, I consider that I have also perhaps accomplished something on behalf of the king, my master, in the role I played, be it little or much, in the conquests of these lands. I shall try to accomplish as much as my power can to extend in these lands the holy faith in the dominions of our Catholic monarch, whom may God preserve." So notice the date, July 19, 1774. So as we're celebrating an independence on the East Coast, on the West Coast, it's still very much the work of the Spanish government promoting that area. So even when Serra thought that his administration was being unjustly limited by the state, he didn't, on that account, renounce altogether his secular role, that he continued to consider himself an official of the king in carrying out his service. Now, that doesn't mean any less that he sought the good of the people or to the promotion of the gospel. Serra himself was a meticulous administrator and kept conscientious records of all administration. So you can look and find how many donkeys he asked for, and he was actually quite upset that he didn't get more donkeys to help with the missions. So he would give these reports, and this is one of the writings you can find of him. But Serra did not begin his life as a missionary. In fact, in 1713, he was baptized as a newborn, so born in 1713, and he made his permanent religious vows in 1731 and took the name Junipero in honor of an early companion of St. Francis. During that time, the Franciscans, and he was a member of the community that St. Pascal Bailon was already canonized by that time, so he would have had a devotion to St. Pascal Bailon, probably, they took an oath to defend the Immaculate Conception of Mary. And Junipero, being very wise and smart, he was picked out before his ordination to be a professor. So he was ordained in 1737, so at the age of 24, and he began to teach 3 years later. He taught philosophy and became the chair of Scotistic theology, so John Duns Scotus, and at that time, we think very much of the theology of St. Bonaventure as dominating in the Franciscans, but truly it was at that time the theology and philosophy of Blessed John Duns Scotus with others as well. But within a short time, he felt that call to be a missionary. So he boarded the boat for San Fernando in 1749, so 12 years later. And he's described this way: Father Junipero Serra, lector of theology, so a teacher of theology, native of Petra in the Diocese of Mallorca, 35 years old, of medium height, swarthy, dark eyes and hair, scant beard. So this is his passport description. So when he came to America, he became associated with the College of San Fernando. So this was another place where friars and others would come, and they would spend their time getting used to this new place, the new food, the new culture and weather. And it would be determined at that place whether or not they would be sent out to be missionaries. So just because you came to America, you had to be tested and trained and well prepared to go out into the mission field. So after initial training, Serra spent his initial years working in central Mexico and in the Baja Peninsula, so the peninsula beneath California, doing regular mission work. And in this time, he became the president of the group, which was not the superior, but he had some responsibilities and the ability to move people around. And he made sure that each mission had at least two priests. And of course, this is the gospel that our Lord sent them out two by two, but also for mutual support and their own sacramental needs, but also the needs of the people, that often they're well served by having priests of different personalities and things like this, like the friars. So the expansion into California came by way of the expulsion of the Society of Jesus from Spain and its dependence by Charles III in 1767. And while this was not a great idea at all, eventually the Jesuits come back to life. The Apostolic College of San Fernando was given the responsibility to replace the Jesuits in their work in Lower California with the intention of continuing the reach of Spain northward. So Junipero had great aspirations for the expansion of Spanish missions and lands, and founded several more missions, and as well as supporting and building up the ones that were already there. Well, some today, and maybe all of us can take, some today would take a more critical approach to the means used for the Native Americans by customizing them to a more Spanish way of life. Sarah fought for the Native Americans in the face of abuses by civil government, such as the lack of just payment or crops and just the care or the lack of care or an abuse of the Native Americans. In situations where the Native Americans committed crimes, even a case of murder or martyrdom, Sarah encouraged prudence and austerity. He even wrote to ensure that they would be forgiven in the case that Sarah himself was martyred. So he said, if I am killed in this work, they are to be forgiven. In the end, Sarah died peacefully, even if alone, on August 28th, 1784, at 70 years old. So the contribution of Junipero Serra to the development of California is vast, even if not well known or celebrated today. And a statue of Junipero Serra remains standing in Statuary Hall in the United States Capitol building. While the Americans in the East were declaring independence in 1776, Sarah was forming, with the help of his fellow missionaries and the Spanish civil government, what would almost a century later become key cities in the 31st state of the Union, California. So, St. Junipero Sarah, pray for us.